Philippians chapter 4, and we commence reading in the Word of God there in verse number 10. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10. Follow us, please, in the reading of God's precious Word. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute to every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to handle thy precious word again, and we pray that thou wilt help us this morning, that thou wilt guide us into all truth. We pray that we might be careful as we would rightly divide the word of truth. Help us to do that, rightly divide it. We pray that thou wilt, Lord, give us help in our understanding, and Lord, give us enlightenment, and help us, Lord, today go out enriched because thou hast spoken to our hearts and that thou hast once again instructed our souls. And so, Lord, we pray that as we come to gather around thy precious word, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I pray earnestly that thou wilt take these lips, that thou wilt use them alone for thy honor and for thy glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, last Lord's Day, we were looking at some of these verses from verse number 10. And we've been speaking about the cheer of the apostle. Remember, of course, Paul was in difficult circumstances. And yet we thank God he wasn't an old grumpy person that you wouldn't want to meet. But my, he had always a cheer. He was rejoicing in the Lord. Indeed, this book, he tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. But not only do we notice his cheer, but we concluded last Lord's Day with his contentment. Because he said in verse number 11, he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now he acknowledges this reality. He says, I know both how to be abased. In other words, he knew what it was to run on low, the brook Cherith to be running out of water, and things were not just as great as they were before. He knew how it was to be abased, but also he knew what it was to abound. And you know, sometimes is it not true that we often remember the times whenever things, you know, whenever we've been humbled and whenever we've been brought low, and we forget the blessings. We forget the abounding. But you know, Paul says, I have learned, and God has taught me. God taught me a very valuable lesson in the pathway of life. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, whether I'm abased or whether I'm abounding, whether the river's running low or whether the river is overflowing. He says, I have learned. God has taught me. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. No murmuring, no grumbling, even when it's going low and running low on everything, even on the ordinary things of life, the very things that are necessary for the body. Yet he was not complaining. He was content in the Lord because God taught him. And then he said in verse number 12, not only have I learned it, he said, but I am instructed. He says there in verse 12, and that's where we were finishing last Lord's Day, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And remember, we looked at that word and we noticed that there are no accidents with God. They're simply appointments with God, that God had arranged in Paul's life the pattern. And so therefore, although life at times has various circumstances, yet we can be content in the Lord. And so therefore, we have the contentment of God's servant. And then we come to verse number 13, and I believe we have here the confidence of God's servant. Because he said this, in the light of all of God has gone before, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And I don't believe that this was an idle boast. I believe this was a factual statement. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, Paul's not saying I can do all things because I get my own way. No, he's not saying that. He was content because he had this confidence that irrespective of the circumstances that life found him in, that he believed that God would carry him through. He says, I can do all things. In other words, the Lord is going to bring me through because God has promised in his precious word. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he was, I believe, drawing from the sufficiency of God. He says, I can do all things, but notice the resources. He says, I can do all things through Christ. He wasn't saying, I can do all things. Look at me. I'm the big fella. I'm the one that you can look up to, and I'm the one that you're just the one that you're to follow. No, he said, I can do all things through Christ. And there was the secret of his resource. And you and I believe that we can also draw from the resources, the rich resources that God has for every single child of his. And we can do so by faith. But we have to believe. I can do all things. Thank God he believed this. He believed that God would never fail him, even when he was under pressure, even in the difficulties of life. He says, I can do all things through Christ. We sang a moment ago, he is not a disappointment. He is all in all to me. Friend, I wonder, is that true in your life? Can you honestly say that from the very depths of your soul, that you are absolutely depending upon the strength of the Lord? He was just depending upon the power of God. Now, the word strengthen, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, means to enable. In other words, to infuse his strength into me. I can do anything through his strength. And, you know, no matter what your circumstance, people say sometimes to me, you know, I would love to be able to do something in the work of God, but I feel I just couldn't do it. And, friend, that it's true, you couldn't. And to tell you the truth, you would be no use if it was you doing it. But if you're doing it in the strength of the Lord, and for example, we're just simply talking about a person on the bus looking after boys and girls. If God has called you to that, you say, well, you know, maybe I couldn't do that with the children and I wouldn't have the patience. Listen, if God calls you to it, there's always the enablement. God always gives the enablement for his will. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, without me, he says, without me, ye can do nothing. And so therefore, our reliance is upon the Lord. And that's where we need to have our source of strength. We need to draw from the resources of God's sufficiency so that he certainly will meet all our needs. And I can do all things, not some things, but I can do all things through Christ. In the book of Romans chapter 8 in the verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so often we fail in our endeavors, and so often we're disappointed in what we have tried to do whenever we do it in our own strength. And friend, listen, you will be a disappointment, not only to others, but you'll be a disappointment to yourself if you're relying upon your sufficiency, relying upon your strength, attempting to do this. But we need to rely upon the Lord in all things, not only in some things. Well, you know, oh, well, I have great education, so therefore, you know, I'll be good for this. No, no, I can do all things through Christ, all things through Christ. He has to be our sufficiency in all and all. And to the weak, thank God he's our strength. To the ignorant, thank God he's our wisdom. To the fearful, he is our courage. And to the sorrowful, thank God he is our joy. And thank God you can make it through victorious. You don't need to leave God's house to be disappointed or face this incoming week and say, I'm going to be a failure in it. For thank God you can go out and you can walk victoriously because you have strength which is not your own. You can do it in the strength of the faithful one. And thank God he is not a disappointment. So, brother, as we just move on from these few verses here and go into the next part, listen, you don't need to sink under a trial this week. For thank God there's one who can strengthen you. You don't need to fall into temptation and yield to temptation this week. For thank God there's one who can provide the way of escape. You don't need to dread what's to come this week. No matter what trial it is, no matter what trouble it is, no matter whether it be want or poverty or whatever it is, we do not need to dread what is to come. For thank God, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even death itself, I'll fear no evil, because thou art with me. And brethren and sisters, in God's name, do not go out and sink into despondency today because you haven't the strength to do this or that. Remember, God is our refuge and strength. He is the very present help in time of trouble. And so you're looking and you're relying upon the Lord. I just was thinking about a little statement that said, you know, we can truly rely on the Lord for everything, but I wonder, can he rely on us? We can rely on him. Thank God he will not disappoint you. And we need to be just open to the leading and the guiding of the Spirit of God. And may God be able to use us this week for his honor and for his glory. But I want us to move on, because the next little grouping together from verses 14 to verse number 20, we conclude, there are these concluding verses of this passage of God's word. Remember, whenever Paul came to Philippi, there were no believers there. He was on his first missionary journey. He brings the gospel to the city. And thank God, through the faithful preaching of the word of God and then teaching God's precious word, people were not only gloriously converted, but praise God, they were led on with the Lord and they were growing in grace. And there was a group of believers that gathered round God's servant. And my, they supported him, they strengthened him, and he also strengthened them. And so there was a strong attachment between the believers at Philippi and the servant that God used to point them to Christ and to lead them on with himself. Now, what the Bible tells us in these verses here, it says that they not only had this strong attachment with God's servant and not only an affection for him, but they showed it in practical ways. They had an interest in his work. But you know, it's so easy for people to say, I'm interested in your work, and then they go into that person goes off to the mission field, and you forget all about them. That's the last they hear of you. And friend, until they come back on furlough again, they, as far as supporting them or encouraging them or strengthening them or sustaining them, there's nothing else. Maybe even forget to pray for them. But not so with the believers here at Philippi. And so he concludes his message here, his letter to the church. And really, first of all, if you look there at verse 14, he's expressing his gratitude, the gratitude he feels. Notice what he says here. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye also. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessities, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And I have all and abound. And so therefore, here's the gratitude he feels. You remember the Lord healed the 10 lepers. And there was only one came back to give thanks. And friend, let me tell you, the Lord noticed that. Because God recorded it in his precious word. There was only one that came back to give thanks. Now, the Bible tells us in the last days, one of the marks of the last days will be not only disobedience to parents, but also an unthankfulness. People are thankless. And friends, we live in a society where people have forgotten to say thanks, to express gratitude. And I believe it doesn't take anything out of a person's pocket or out of a person's character. In actual fact, I believe it shows something about a person's character. When a person expresses gratitude, in other words, gives thanks. Now, I believe that God's people, before they have their meal, they ought to give thanks. They ought to thank the Lord for the food, expressing gratitude that once again, God has provided for their needs, and there's this necessity for us to thank the Lord. Now, what Paul here in these verses is doing, he's recalling their faithfulness. Time and again, they had sent gifts to God's servant, and friend, he was grateful for them. Now, the Bible says he had learned to be content. He had learned to be content in whatever situation it was. But I tell you, I believe that God helped in the midst of his circumstances to know that there were those that had a big heart to give to God's servant to meet his needs. Verse 14, he says this, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate. Ye did communicate with my afflictions. And the word there, communicate, means to participate with someone, to become partner with or companion with. In other words, what he was saying was this, that not only did you give to meet my needs, but also you took part with my afflictions. Not only did you sympathize with my afflictions, but they did it in a way that assisted God's servant to carry his afflictions, to sustain him. And how was that done? I believe it was done, as it says there in verse 15, giving and receiving, by giving and providing for the necessities at the time whenever it was most needed. You know, the Bible tells us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. You ever found out that people sometimes are all around you when you don't need them, and they're over you like a rash? But you see, whenever your back's against the wall, and whenever the situation is that you're just crying out, my, even you were to ask, they're not interested. They're not interested. But God's people were. They communicated. They were willing to communicate with his afflictions. That's what he says here, with my afflictions. Now, it's easy to communicate and be a part and be a companion when everything's going swimmingly, when everything's well, when everything's going the way you want it. But here was a communicating in his afflictions. And notice when they did it. Look at verse 16. Even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again. In other words, this wasn't just a once-off and then forget. No, they did it again and again, more than once. And God's servant was grateful. Notice what he says in verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. Not only simply in communicating and being a part of his afflictions, but here was something in meeting his necessities. Meeting his ordinary necessities. And now he recalls that whenever it came to even doing that, you can understand, say, listen, no. You're in the midst of afflictions. I don't want to be a part of that. But, you know, just necessities. He said, where were they? Where were the other churches? He says the Philippian church, they provided in the very practical support, the financial need that would help them to carry on the ministry that God had called them to. And so they have been a blessing. You see, Paul was a blessing to him, to them. But praise God, they too were a blessing to him. You know, the church at Philippi was a wonderful example of giving to the things and to the work of God. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed in the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of afflictions, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." What an example of giving, of giving. Paul said concerning these believers here in Philippi, "No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessities, not that I desired a gift." So what he's saying here is this: they were those that not only were thinking of God's servant, but they were meeting his need. I mean, one could ask, where were the other churches? Where were those that encouraged him to go on the missionary journeys? But here the Philippians were willing to, in a practical way, meet the need of God's servant. Verse 17, "not because I desired a gift." The word desire carries with it the idea that it wasn't in his character, it wasn't the habit of Paul to receive a gift for his own comfort. But he believed that when God's people were giving this gift, they were making a heavenly investment. And I believe that when we support missionary work, that's exactly what we're doing. We are making a heavenly investment. You see, Paul says here in verse number 17, "I desired fruit." That's what I was wanting. I desired fruit that may abound to your account. In other words, the fruit of Paul's ministry, because he was supported by the Philippian church, the fruit of Paul's ministry would be accredited to their account. Now, our brother Graham is with us today, and he has a great interest in the work of God in Nepal. He's been doing a work there. And there is a great encouragement that he has sought to give in direction and guidance. And you see, whenever we give to help and assist the work in Nepal, and God uses those folks that are serving the Lord there, and people are getting saved, thank God, I believe that we are a part of that heavenly investment. I believe we have a part of it. I believe that as God saves souls, because we are able to help and assist and keep people there, ministering the word of God, and not simply in Nepal, but whether it be in the Philippines, whether it be in different parts of the world, friend, never think that, listen, oh, they're making another appeal. They're looking for more money. I believe, my brother and sister, if you put your money in the bank, you make an investment. If you make and put your money in the service of Christ and missionaries and missionary work and keeping God's servant serving the Lord, you're making a heavenly investment. And I'll tell you something, you'll get a better interest from God than you'll get from the bank. You will. You'll get better interest. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And I can tell you, these people invested in the ministry of God's servant, and they were drawing spiritual interest off the fruit of his labors. That was happening. They were drawing spiritual interest off the fruit of God's servant's labors, because they, time and again, they had sought to meet the needs. You know, it's sad whenever A missionary has to come home from the field because they can no longer be kept there. Not because there's not a great need. Not because the work is done, but because there's nothing to keep them there financially, to sustain them, to sustain their family. And believe it or not, you know, their families eat the same way as you and me. They hunger the same as you and me. They have earthly needs, bodily needs, the same as you and me. And brother and sister in Jesus Christ, that's why whenever it comes to especially the harvest time, and we make a special appeal, and God laid it in my heart some years ago that we would turn that completely around, that no longer would we take it for the supplying of the need of this congregation, but we would turn it around and we would meet the needs of God's servant, encouraging God's servant. And friend, let me tell you, God's servants on the mission field need encouragement. They need the encouragement of God's people. And if God's people don't encourage them, who else is going to encourage them? My, the devil will thump them and hit them and hurt them. God's people need to be backing them, supporting them. Now, as he thought about this, he says in verse 18, he says, but I have all. I have received everything. He says, I have all and abound and am full. He was completely satisfied. He was completely satisfied. And do the last of the verse of that hymn, He is Not a Disappointment. It simply said this, He is not a disappointment, for He satisfies indeed. He satisfies indeed. Oh, friend, today, listen, He said, I abound. He knows what it is to have abundance, ample to meet the need. He says, I am full. I have enough. In actual fact, that word full there is a strong word. It denotes nothing was lacking. Nothing was lacking for His need. Now, God doesn't supply our greeds, but God does supply our needs. That's what He's promised in His precious word. And thank God is a word of a sovereign God. Now, how did he get some of these needs met? Look at verse 18. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. That's how the need was met. You met the need. That's what he was saying to them. He said, yes, I have all. He says, I am entirely satisfied. He says, I abound. He says, I am full because I have received of Epaphroditus. That's how he got it. It was practical giving. Practical giving. You know, we live in an age, and let's be honest, we're all tinged with it in many ways. This is a very self-centered age. People just think, me, mine, self, my home, my needs, my house. But you know, here was a people, friend, and I have no doubt these people had little. But they gave of the little they had. Because they had a heart of love. And Epaphroditus had gone to bring this to God's servant. But you remember what happened to Epaphroditus. Go back to chapter 2. And in chapter 2 and verse number 25, it says this, yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother, companion in labor, fellow servant, your messenger. He ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been very sick, and indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy upon him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should sorrow upon sorrow. It had been a difficult journey. When Epaphroditus had taken the gift from the church at Philippi, this was a hard journey. And Epaphroditus got ill. And he was nearly dead. And the news got back to the Philippian believers. And they were concerned about him. He was concerned about them. And Paul says, you know, and the Lord was concerned about it all. Because it said this, God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also. Do you see the bond of love between God's servants and God's people? Notice how Paul puts it very quickly. Notice how Paul puts it concerning. Go back now to chapter 4. This is what he said concerning their giving to the work of God. He said this, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, mark this, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That's how he summed it up, a threefold summary of this gift that was sent by God's servant. He said, it is an odor of a sweet smell. It says it was a sacrifice acceptable. Paul's saying this, that the gift that they had sent was like a sacrifice that had been offered not to him, but a sacrifice that had been offered up to God. And friend, when you're giving, remember this. When you give to the mission field, when you give to the sustaining of God's work, remember, you're not giving to man alone. First and foremost, you're giving to God. And he used words here, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, an odor of a sweet smell. He's using words that describe the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering. These were sweet savor offerings, all that brought pleasure to God. It was well pleasing to God. So had made their offering not simply out of friendship, not simply because he was he was their friend, but he was their minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the word odor refers to a pleasant fragrance. A pleasant fragrance. In other words, like that pleasant fragrance produced in the temple by the burning of the incense. And he says, that's what your giving was like unto God. It was a sweet smell. It was a sacrifice acceptable. It was well pleasing to God. That's what they did for the Lord's work. That's what they did for God's service. But look at verse 19, with this we close. This is what God was going to do for them. But my God shall supply all your need. Let me tell you, my friend, there has never been a man that has given to God that God's in debt to. God loves the cheerful giver. He knows the spirit of giving. When that wee woman put in the mite into the box, friend, the Lord knew not only what she gave, and she gave everything, but the Lord knew she gave it the right way, the right spirit. She gave it gladly to the Lord. The Lord loveth the hilarious giver, the one that's happy in giving to him. But God will never be in debt to his people. Here's his confidence. Paul's saying, listen, I am confident that for all your giving, God's well pleased. But I'm confident in return, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe in many ways, friend, with this a close, in many ways God's people gave of the little they had. and they give it gladly. But when God gives, notice, he supplies our need out of his riches. There's nothing little with God. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. D.L. Moody said, he called this promise God's check. He said, my God, that's the name of the bank printed in the check, shall supply, that's the promise to pay, all your need, that's the amount to be paid, according to his riches, that's the deposit in the account against which the check's drawn, in glory, that's the dress of the bank, by Christ Jesus, that's the name signed on the check. I think D.L. Moody got it dead right. Friend, we have a great God. We ought to love him. And in loving him, we ought to love his work. We ought to love his witness. And God has promised, covenanted, to meet your need. I wonder if you know the Lord. Maybe there's someone here today and in this service this morning, friend, that promise are just words, but there's nothing personal there. You know what Paul said? He says, my God. He knew him personally. Personal relationship. And thank God he could draw on his resources because he was God's child. Can you today come to know the Lord? Receive him. Be saved. And I'll guarantee you, he has won my heart's affections and he meets my every need. He is not a disappointment. For he satisfies. Indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word. Thank you for your promises and the assurance, O God, that thou knowest not only our need, but we bless thee, Lord, that out of thy riches thou can supply. We pray today that you'll help us to honor thee in all things, the life we live, as your children, in the things we give to forward your service. Help us to do it for Jesus' sake and bring the last one to Christ. Save them today for Jesus' sake. Amen.